Hey, little thinkers, let's rewind.
Time to travel back.
Hello, dear travelers of time. Tonight, steam breath warms the air and iron wheels whisper secrets. We will follow the tracks of a brave mind. His engines breathe like giant metal horses. His name shaped a moving world.
Welcome, friends. This is a story about courage and small steps. It is about dirty hands, bright eyes, and steady hearts. It will be exciting, but it will also feel safe and kind. The end shines with hope.
Here is a tiny spark to start the fire. The hero of our tale worked in the dark, deep underground. As a teen, he learned to read at night. His path began with coal dust and dreams.
Kids, teens, and grown-ups will love this ride. Trains changed how families lived, ate, and traveled in one lifetime. Friendships formed along tracks. New jobs appeared. This tale shows how ideas can carry whole cities forward.
Someone knows this journey by heart. Someone can make steam, sparks, and courage feel close. Let the storyteller open the station gates. The whistle is ready. Stand by for rolling wheels and brave choices.
All aboard the story train. We hand the lantern to our storyteller now. Follow the light. Follow the rhythm of iron and fire. The tracks lead to George Stevenson and a world beginning to move.
Wylam, in the north of England, late in the 18th century, evening settles. Cold air nips at cheeks. The smell of coal smoke floats from the pit. A boy named George watches men return, boots heavy with mud. Pit ponies snort and shake their heads. The cottages glow with faint yellow lamps. Inside one small room, a kettle hums. A wooden chair creaks. George's father works as a fireman on a pumping engine. Steam keeps floods away from the mine. The machine clanks and sighs like a tired beast. The boy listens, counting beats. He wonders how the parts stay alive. No books wait on the shelf for him. Money is thin. The road looks narrow. But the engine's breath is a teacher. The rhythm writes lessons in his mind. In that steady hiss, the future quietly taps on the door. Years pass. George grows strong and careful. He becomes a brakesman at a coal mine near Killingworth. His hands learn the weight of iron and rope. He saves coins for a night school. After long shifts, he walks to class, eyes sore, mind eager. He studies letters, numbers, and the way machines devour fuel. He is not ashamed to start late. He is proud to start. At night, the candle flickers while he solves sums. His pencil scratches like a mouse in the quiet. By day, he listens to engines and keeps them steady. He fixes leaks. He tightens bolts. He becomes the one people call when a pump coughs or a beam groans. His world is small, but his skill grows large. The mine owners notice the young man who hears trouble before it breaks. Killingworth, early in the 19th century, the engine house rattles. Heat presses close. Soot floats like dark snow. George leans over warm metal. He tightens a nut and listens again. The engine smooths to a steady beat. He studies every pipe, every joint. He learns how steam works hard when guided well. He also learns where energy hides and where it leaks. His mind holds a map of heat and motion. Soon he becomes chief engine man. Visitors arrive to watch him repair and improve. He keeps records, simple and clear. He wants the machine to serve the people, not scare them. Every fix brings a new idea. Every idea reaches for a better design. He is patient, and patience becomes power. The mine owners now trust him with challenges that others avoid. Danger stalks the mines. Invisible gas can explode with a spark. Many families fear that knock on the door. Around 1815, George designs a safety lamp with fine wire gauze and careful airflow. Miners call it the Geordie lamp. At the same time, the scientist Humphrey Davy creates another lamp design. Historians explain that both men worked toward safer light. Who deserved full credit was argued in those years. What matters here is clear. Safer lamps meant more fathers returning home. George sees problems as puzzles, not monsters. He takes the fear and gives it a shape he can study. The lamp becomes part of his identity, a signal that he will not accept danger as normal. He keeps looking for better ways to move loads without risk and waste. Along the wagonways, horses pull heavy coal wagons. The rails are iron now, not wood. Wheels bite the track. Loads move better, but horses grow tired and slow. George studies earlier steam engines on rails. He hears of Richard Trevithick's brave try years before. In Wylam, engineers built Puffing Billy to haul coal. These attempts show a path, but problems remain. Engines often slip, parts break, heat is wasted. George begins sketching a new locomotive at Killingworth. He wants steady grip and simple strength. He thinks about weight on the driving wheels and the path of hot gases. He dreams of long lines moving without horses. He is not a gentleman scientist. He is a working engineer. His ideas grow from oil, iron, and long days beside hot boilers. In about 1814, his locomotive called Blucher rolls out. It stands squat and strong, pipes shining, joints tight. Steam puffs in wet breaths. The engine takes hold of a train of coal wagons. The wheels grip the iron rails. The wagons begin to move. Blucher pulls several loaded cars at about 4 miles per hour. Miners grin and jog to keep up. No horse snorts, no whip cracks. Only the steady chuff of steam and the squeak of hot metal. Not perfect, not fast, but real. This is proof. George improves the design again and again. Better springs steady the ride. Stronger parts face the strain. He notices that sending the exhaust up the chimney helps the fire. The breath of the engine feeds its own heart, and power rises. Success in a coal yard is one thing. A public railway is something else. In Darlington, a man named Edward Pease plans a line to carry coal to the port. George meets him and argues for steam, not horses. He brings records from Killingworth. He shows what the engines can do. Pease listens. In 1821, George becomes the engineer for the new Stockton and Darlington Railway. A works is founded in Newcastle with his son Robert and partners. There they will build locomotives with stronger frames and well-fitted boilers. The plan is bold. Coal first, then people. The team draws, measures, and tests. Rails are laid. Bridges rise. The project moves like a careful parade, 1 foot after another, steady and sure. On the opening day in Darlington in 1825, the platform swells with people. Coal wagons line up behind a new locomotive named Locomotion No. 1. Steam curls white against a gray sky. A driver wipes his brow with a sleeve. Someone checks the couplings again. Children stand on tiptoes. With a breathy whistle, the train moves. Wheels sing on iron. The line is the first public railway to use steam locomotives. It carries coal and stones, but also passengers riding in simple carriages. The world feels different in that moment. Towns no longer sit alone and stubborn. Tracks stitch them together. Still, not everyone is pleased. Some fear sparks, noise, and speed. Some say cows will give less milk. The railway rolls on and minds begin to change. Country lanes fill with talk. Some farmers worry about fences and smoke. Letters run in newspapers. People wonder whether sparks will set haystacks alight. Others see promise. Coal reaches ships faster. Goods grow cheaper. Families plan trips that once felt impossible. George keeps answering challenges with calm proof. He changes minds by running trains well, day after day. Every safe journey writes a new line of trust. He does not argue with loud words. he argues with working wheels. Meanwhile, larger dreams form on the western coast. Two great cities, Liverpool and Manchester, need a faster link. Factories wait for raw cotton. Shops wait for cloth. The old canal is slow and crowded. A new plan points to dry land and shining rails. The Liverpool and Manchester Railway brings a cruel test called Chat Moss. It is a wide bog, deep and hungry. Step wrong, and a man sinks. Many experts say a railway cannot cross. George studies the moss. He tests, pokes, and measures. He decides to float the track on layers of brushwood, heather, and timber. Then he adds gravel and stone. The ground presses, then settles. Workers spread out like careful ants, laying a road that swims but does not drown. Wagons pass slowly to pack it firm. Each day adds a little more strength. Doubters watch, waiting for failure. Instead, metal meets metal. The rails hold. A path appears where none stood before. The bog keeps its secrets, but it lets the railway pass. In 1829, judges host trials at a place called Rainhill. They need the best locomotive for the new line. Rules demand speed, strength, and steady work over many miles. Engines arrive with proud names, Novelty, Sans-Pareil, and a bright yellow machine called Rocket, built by Robert Stephenson's works with ideas from George and Henry Booth. Crowds gather, hats wave, steam blows in hot gusts, each engine takes its turn. Some fail with broken parts, some breathe hard but slow. Rocket runs light and clever. It has a separate firebox and a multi-tube boiler. Hot gases pass through many small tubes, warming more water quickly. The blast pipe sends exhaust up the chimney, pulling the fire. The wheels spin true. Rocket proves it can run fast and keep going. Rocket reaches about 30 miles per hour, an astonishing pace for the day. People's mouths fall open. Some feel joy, some feel fear. The judges choose Rocket as the winner. The lesson is not only speed, the lesson is reliability. A good locomotive must run well all day, not just for a burst. Design meets duty here. The boilers hold. The springs bear strain without bouncing too hard. The engine breathes with clean rhythm. The path to a working passenger line becomes clear. George's way of careful testing, steady improvement, and practical choices stands bright in the soot. The railway is almost ready to carry two cities on iron shoulders. Opening day, Liverpool and Manchester Railway, 1830. Dignitaries arrive in fine clothes. Workers stand proud in their best boots. The air smells of coal and fresh paint. Trains line up, polished and warm. The world watches. Then tragedy strikes. During a stop, a respected statesman, William Huskisson, steps onto the track. A moving locomotive Rocket cannot halt in time. He is struck and later dies from his injuries. Shock falls like a heavy blanket. Some say the dream should end. George is grief-struck, and so are many others. The company chooses to continue after the sad day. Safety lessons are learned and shared. The sorrow is real and remembered. So is the wish to build a safer, faster future for all travelers. Soon the line hums with life. Goods that took long hours by road now move in far less time. Letters fly between the cities. Fresh food travels quickly and arrives crisp. Families visit more often. Workers commute with less strain. The station becomes a new kind of town square. Notices flutter on walls. Timetables teach people to trust the clock. Trains run in all weather. Rain paints the platforms and beads on iron rails. The land feels smaller, not by shrinking, but by linking. George keeps overseeing, advising, and improving. Problems appear. He solves them. New lines call for new bridges and tunnels. His name moves from newspaper edges to the front. A key choice lies under every train, hidden but powerful. It is the distance between the rails. George favors a width of 4 feet 8 1/2 inches. This gauge offers stable running and simple building. Many lines adopt it. In later years, lawmakers set it as the standard for much of Britain. The measure spreads across oceans. Rails in far countries match the same track width. This lets engines roll from town to town without changes. People will later call it the Stevenson gauge. The name is less important than the idea. A shared measure connects places as surely as rails do. Quiet numbers carry great weight in moving worlds. Railways spread like shining threads. Towns grow at junctions. Mail arrives faster. News moves with new speed. Factories ship goods in days, not weeks. Workers follow rails to new jobs. Seaside trips become family joys instead of rare dreams. The railway does not fix every problem, but it brings new choices and wider paths. George works on many lines, always with that same careful ear for engines. His son, Robert Stevenson, becomes a master builder too. Father and son share designs, arguments, and pride. Bridges rise, stations bloom. The hiss of steam becomes part of daily life, like the bark of a dog or the ring of a bell. In later years, George lives at Tapton House near Chesterfield. He tends gardens and studies bees. He still enjoys engines, and engines enjoy him. Visitors come to ask advice. He speaks plainly and keeps his boots close to work. He never forgets the mines or the men who taught him by example. He has lost and learned, built and mended. In 1848, his life comes to a gentle close. By then, trains run across hundreds of miles of country. He leaves a path others can follow, not of smoke and iron only, but of patience, testing, and steady courage. That is a track that never rusts. Miners once called his safety lamp the Geordie. Over time, people used Geordie as a friendly name for folks from his region. Language, like railways, can carry stories far. Many museums keep his engines and tools. People can watch wheels turn and pistons push. The parts look simple now, but they were brave ideas then. The standard gauge he favored guides countless trains today. Subways, freight trains, and fast liners share its hidden measure. Some stories grow quiet with age. This one keeps moving. It rides the tracks under morning commutes and holiday trips. George Stevenson's life shows what steady work can build from almost nothing at all. From a boy counting engine beats to a man linking cities, George Stevenson's story holds many turns. Early struggles did not stop him. Lack of books did not lock the door. He learned at night, worked by day, and treated ideas as tools, not trophies. He solved hard problems one careful step at a time. He listened to metal as if it spoke in hisses and clicks. He honored safety, even when glory tugged at his sleeve. The railways he built changed more than travel. They changed time itself, teaching towns to share hours and hopes. His greatest gift was not a single machine. It was a way of building that helps the world move forward together.